I had to get an eye exam this week. I've had glasses since I was in third grade. That was the first time I noticed I couldn't see the words on the board well enough. And my mom took me to the eye doctor, and I had to get glasses. And I wasn't real good at wearing them that first year. I'd forget them a lot. And I can still remember how perturbed my third grade teacher would get when I would tell her, Mrs. Miller, you need to write the words bigger. I can't see them. But I had to go this past week to have my eyes checked. I go every year to the eye doctor and have the tests done because my vision's pretty bad. Legally, I'm almost blind. My vision is 20 over 400, which means the items I should be able to see that are 400 feet away from me, I have to be within 20 feet to be able to see them. If I take my glasses off, you are all very fuzzy. There's no definition. There's no lines. I can't read the papers, the words written on my paper here. So I went to the eye doctor, and they ran me, they did the thing where they take off your glasses, they cover one eye, right? And they say, read the smallest line that you can see. And I said, sure, where's the chart? Then they brought that big, that thing that slides over, looks like a big steampunk Mardi Gras mask, and they affix that thing to your face, and they switch out the lenses, right? They're like, okay, this is your current lens. Now, is this better or is this worse? How about this one? Is this better or is this worse? Is this one better or is this one better? Is this one better? Does this one look sharper? And I don't ever know. I just kind of go, sure, yeah, all right, okay, sure. But when it's all done, they make me a new pair of glasses, and I put them on, and what happens is my vision gets sharpened. All of a sudden, all those fuzzy images I had become crystal clear. All of a sudden, I can see again. I've always needed help with my vision. The truth is, I always will. We find ourselves 2 weeks after the Easter event. We have been to the cross. We have been to the empty tomb. We have seen Jesus in the upper room, touched his side and his hands. We believe in the risen Christ, But 2 weeks on, and we're starting to get back to our normal daily lives, getting back into our routine, and we encounter Jesus on the road to Emmaus. Except, we can't see him. On that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, talking with each other about these things that had happened. And while they were talking, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. The disciples are starting to get out of Jerusalem. They're starting to try to return to some semblance of recognizable order in their lives. They've been confronted by the risen Christ. Their hearts have been touched. Their lives have been changed forever, but they still struggle to make sense out of what is happening. What does the Easter event mean to me? How am I changed by Jesus? How does the empty tomb change my life? And as they are walking down this road to Emmaus, a stranger comes into their midst. It's kind of like one of those episodes of Undercover Boss. You guys ever watch that show? Right, where they take a boss and they put a goofy mustache on him and a wig and give him glasses, and then he goes and works at his company, but people don't know who he is, right? And you watch that show because you're always hoping some employee is going to badmouth the company, right? And they're going to be like, this place is a joke. Guy that runs this place is an idiot, right? And that happens sometimes, but they always show those heartwarming stories where they meet somebody and help them out, But here Jesus is in his own version of Undercover Boss, right? He's got a wig on, he's got some glasses, maybe some false teeth, right? So they don't recognize him right away. And he comes up and he says, hey, what's going on? And the disciples are like, have you not heard what happened? And they proceed to tell him the events of that week that led up to Jesus being arrested and the trial and the crucifixion and the death on the cross and the Easter morning when the tomb was found empty and Jesus appearing to them multiple times. They're sharing this with him because they're still processing through it as well. Even as they don't completely understand it, they still can feel that compelling urge to share it with the next person. Ultimately, we are selfish creatures. If we're honest with ourselves, we care about me, myself, and I first. It's an evolutionary survival trait designed to keep us alive, designed to perpetuate the species. And for much of our lives, we may not notice this innate selfishness. But at some point, our eyes are open to it. At some point, something happens in our lives, and all of a sudden, we see how focused we've been on ourselves and how little we've noticed those around us. There's a gentleman sitting in the back of the church. He's a little sketchy, but he's all right. His name's Rex Chapman. He's my college roommate. We haven't seen each other in 26 years. I figured it up the other day after we had breakfast. I added up how many years it had been. 26 years we haven't seen each other. And I'll be honest with you, he got old. I'm not sure what happened. I look in the mirror, I'm still 21, but he's like 40-something. Wow. But we got together this week and we had breakfast. And, you know, Rex and I knew each other when he was 19 and I was 20. We had an apartment together at college, and not exactly the model Christian lifestyle being modeled in that apartment. I would tell you some of the things we did, but I'm pretty sure the statute of limitations has not completely run out. So I might have to wait a little bit on a few of those stories. We actually originally connected a few years ago on Facebook. This is the first time we've seen each other face-to-face in 26 years, but on Facebook we found one another, and for a couple years now we've been sending back messages, and there have been a couple times we've been close to one another, but it just didn't work out, and finally he's coming to Kansas City for work. 2 or 3 years ago when we first connected on Facebook, you know, that first time you find an old friend on Facebook, right, you send that message, "Hey, how you doing? Man, it's been forever. Hey, you're looking good." "What's been going on in your life?" You know, and they respond, "Hey, what's been going on in your life?" And I was like, "Well, I'm a minister now." And there was a pause as Rex considered that. I'm sure as he washed it through the filter of his last memories of us together. But we got together for breakfast this week. We were talking about that. He brought that up. He said, "You know, when you first told me you were a minister," he's like, I wasn't sure what to think. But he said, "You know, I stopped and I thought about it. And I thought, yeah, I can see that." What it was for me, the thing that opened my eyes to my selfishness in this life, was when I had a daughter. Right? I wasn't going to church. When I left high school, I didn't go back to church. And through college, we certainly weren't up on Sunday mornings to go to church. And I was into my early 20s, and church and God and faith were not an important piece of it. But then we had Abby, my daughter. And when you hold your first child in your hands and you look at this little helpless lizard monkey that you've been blessed with, something changes. All of a sudden your eyes are open to this other thing in the world. And in that moment, the beauty of holding my child in that moment, I saw something else. We encounter people every day on our journey. We meet them, we walk with them, we share the road with them for a moment. But do we ever see past their exterior, past their outer layers? Do we ever really look hard into their hearts? Do we ever really truly try to see them? You know, the optical illusions I was showing to Charlie, I think about things like that. You've got to really focus on those things. You guys all saw the tree right away, but it took a minute to see the lion and the gorilla. You had to stare at it for a minute. You had to focus on it. You had to stop what else you were doing and really look at it. How often do we look at people like that are around us? How often do they look like one thing to the world, but if you stop and you really see them, you really look at them, you start to see something else. If you stop and you really focus in, what you see is Jesus. Mother Teresa in the slums of Calcutta used to instruct the nuns under her care to be watchful, to be vigilant when they were holding a naked dying beggar in their arms, because if they looked hard enough and deep enough into that beggar's eyes, they would see the eyes of Jesus staring back. How often do we take the time to do that? How often do we stop and truly look at the people on the journey with us? How often do we look past their external offerings, past their annoying traits, past their clueless existence? The disciples see this traveler on the road, and they can't see Jesus in him. How often do we stop at cursory glances and not see the presence of Christ abiding in the people around us, not see the presence of Christ living in the people on our left and on our right? We gloss over the risen Christ standing right there and focus instead on other things. The elevator doesn't work. It's raining too much. Somebody didn't push my chair in the Sunday school room right. Having encountered the risen Christ at Easter, we try to pack him away with the Easter decorations, only need to get him out once a year, maybe twice at Christmas, instead of allowing the Christ to focus us, to give our lives definition, to sharpen our gaze so that we can truly see him all around us. We just squint and get back to it, trudging through life with our eyes closed to the glory of God right in front of us. Christ's grace in us opens our eyes to the presence of Christ around us. When we truly let Jesus in, we begin to see much more. We begin to see Jesus in our journey, in the eyes of those that we encounter. And this matters. This is important. Because until I see Christ in another, the world will have trouble seeing Christ in me. I can profess Christ all I want. I can claim some personal, private, selfish relationship with Jesus in my heart all I want. But until I endeavor to see Christ in the stranger on the road, until I strive to see Christ in the person who annoys me, until I try to find Christ, to see Christ in my enemy, the world will not see Christ in me. We proclaim each week in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive me as I forgive others." I cannot forgive those who have truly hurt me, who have truly harmed me, until I strive to see Christ within them. I cannot truly welcome the stranger until I recognize the Christ in them. I cannot truly walk the road with those I encounter until I see the Christ in them. On the road to Emmaus, it was the table that opened the disciples' eyes. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning with us while he was talking to us on the road?" When we come to this table, do we not feel the Spirit of God prying at our hearts, prying at our eyes to open them? God wants us to see the Christ all around us, in our friends and family, strangers and sojourners. When we come to this table and we accept the grace of God laid out for us there, it is in that moment that our eyes can be opened. Or we can simply take the bread, take the cup just for ourselves, simply go back to trudging the road. But God wants so much more for us. God wants to sharpen our visions, to give us focus, to help us see. But we have to allow that to happen. It's my choice to go to the eye doctor. Nobody forces me to go. If I didn't want to go again from now until the day I die, that's my choice. I don't have to go. What'll happen every year is you all will get a little bit more fuzzy. I'll have to squint quite a bit more. But that's my choice. I can do that. I can choose to live like this. It won't be any fun. It's going to be a struggle and a burden. It's your choice as well. Christ is all around. Christ is in the next person you're going to meet on this journey. Christ is in the person you're going to run into this afternoon as you get back to your daily road. But will your eyes be opened to see them? Amen.